is often misunderstood. And you've heard many sermons, I'm sure, and maybe even I've given sermons about doing and being. There's the active life and those who work hard. And Jesus says, no, you need to have the contemplative and spiritual life. The doers and the beers. However, remember as you read the Gospel of Luke where we've been, and you see that this short vignette is an important piece of a larger story. Remember, Jesus teaches on discipleship and the importance of carrying one's cross. And then Luke tells us he set his face toward Jerusalem, to his destiny and his mission, giving himself for the life of the world. There is an urgency in the way he conducts himself from there. That doesn't mean he's in a hurry. That doesn't mean he's rushing. But he has a focus about him. He has focus when he sends out the 72. For the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He has focus when he tells the importance of being a neighbor to those who ask, what is the great commandment? And he has focus here in this encounter with Mary and Martha. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and there is nothing that will stop that. The die has been cast. He will not turn back. Now, Bethany is where Mary and Martha live, with their brother Lazarus. And it's interesting that Luke, in his interaction with Mary and Martha, rather than John's story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. But there's a reason for that. These are the final actions of Jesus before he enters Jerusalem. He shows what mission looks like with the sending of the 72. He shows his disciples how to have mercy with a Good Samaritan parable. Today he tells them to listen. Next week he will tell them how to pray. Send out, show mercy, listen, and pray. Jesus is offering a structure and a model for discipleship. So today is about listening. Listen to whom? To whom do we listen? Now this is a very short passage, but notice how the way the word Lord is used. Luke uses it as the narrator. And it is Luke's conviction that Jesus is that Lord and Christ, God with us. Martha also uses the word. No doubt she understood it to an extent, but I'm not sure she had the same kind of conviction, at least not yet. She uses it almost as a way to scold Jesus. Lord, don't you know? Lord, why am I doing all the work? Now, many of the lessons in Luke occur around the table. Presumably, Martha's table here is set, and it's impressive. Everything is laid out and prepared for a feast, which is why she's frustrated with Mary's lack of help. Do I have to do everything? And then you'll give me more because Mary is doing this. But really, what is the table here? And who serves the meal? Key to understanding what Jesus says is in the last verse, which we translate in the NRSV, Mary has chosen the better part. Jesus is actually using culinary language. The ESV says, but there is one thing necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. The good portion. Remember, Luke uses the table. You can almost hear him fast-forwarding to Luke 24 on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus is revealed in the breaking of the bread. You can almost hear him speaking at the Last Supper, breaking the bread, saying, "This is my body." Martha is rightly being hospitable, but she is worried about the wrong meal. The meal that is being served by the Lord himself. He is giving words of life and sustenance. Mary has made the better choice. She has chosen the better portion. The moment was unique, and Mary capitalized on it. Eternity had invaded time, and she was available to receive it. Martha chose the good. Mary chose the better. Now, Paul is pretty clear in his description of what he means by Lord in Colossians chapter 1. Notice how many times he says, "All things related to Jesus." He calls Jesus the firstborn of all creation. That does not mean that he was the being, but that he is the heir of all creation. The second commandment, as we know, forbids images. Yet Paul says Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All the fullness of God dwells in him. And Mary was right to listen. He was the Lord in her midst. The Lord. She chose to listen. Choices are rolled out for us every day of our lives. In fact, we have an unprecedented amount of choices. It is a pleasure to hear from God. Is it not? To listen to Jesus is like the finest of meals, because it is he who serves it. Raise your hand if you know why we have the gospel in a gold book that we pull out in the middle. Can anybody give me that confirmation answer? Any guesses? That's right, exactly. He's bringing himself to us. Now, we could just read it from a book, and we do, but we put his words in a gold case, and we bring them in the midst, and we say, "Christ is among us. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name." We are asking ourselves to be prepared to hear and to listen to the word of God. But who do we listen to? Maybe in our age, a better question is, what do we listen to? I think we listen to a lot more what's than we do who's. Russian Orthodox Bishop Demetrios said in a talk, he said this, he was talking to youth, "It becomes more and more obvious that technology assumes an increasingly dominating role in our life. The impact on this phenomena on spiritual life is so clear." And then he says, "Sooner or later, technology is going to dominate the whole earth. Our senses are constantly attacked by impressions whose intensity sometimes goes far beyond our possibilities. Sights and sounds not only whip the senses, they also capture the attention and sometimes cause a profound hypnotizing effect on the human soul." Not always a who, but a what. Guess when he wrote those words? 1969. Who are we listening to? What are we listening to? We want to be like Mary, listening to the Lord as if enjoying a rich meal. But how do we do that? Robert Shippey says, holy listening requires rearranging selfish preoccupations. It includes our own perspectives, beliefs, knowledge, and relationships, so that divine love is at the center of who we are called to be. And how do we do this? We would all love to change the world, would we not? Now, in a time that it needs changing, perhaps more than ever before in our lifetimes, it seems as though chaos is all around us. Mother Teresa tried to change the world, at least in her way, in her time. And we think of her working like 12, 14 hours a day, right? Just being out there in the streets with the poorest of the poor, with those who are dying, with those who are sick. Well, I actually ran into Mother Teresa's schedule. Here's how it goes. She rose at 4:30 a.m. and she got cleaned up. Then there was prayers and mass at 5 a.m. to 6:30. Then there was breakfast and cleanup from 6:30 to 8. Then from 8 to 12:30, she worked with the poor. Then she had lunch and a little nap from 12:30 to 2:30. And then she rose from 2:30 to 3 for spiritual reading and meditation. This is p.m. Then she broke for tea at 3 o'clock. Mother Teresa has time to drink tea? Get out there! And then, 3:15 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. was adoration in the chapel. An hour and 15 minutes. Then, 4:30 to 7:30, she went back out to work for the poor. 7:30 to 9, dinner and cleanup. 9 to 9:45, night prayers. 9:45, bedtime. Lots of work for the poor. In fact, I count 7.5 hours. But there was time for the soul, and for the presence of Jesus was the most important. And she says this, I make a holy hour each day in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. All my sisters of the Missionary of Charity make a daily holy hour as well. Because we find that through our daily holy hour, our love for Jesus becomes more intimate, our love for each other more understanding, and our love for the poor more compassionate. Now, if we can't hear Mother Teresa telling us that this is what life should be like, who can we listen to? Yes, she worked. In fact, she worked into her late 80s for the poor. And it was often a work of great discouragement. And she writes about that. And she writes about sometimes feeling the absence of God. But that was the highlight of her time, of her day, was to sit in the presence of Jesus. Who do we listen to? What do we listen to? To be continued.